T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
You better believe you can dig it, because it's Bernstein and Benetti here on the Lawrence Holmes Show. Another hour to go. Tomorrow, Cole Wright is going to be sitting with me on this show after I finish my usual show. So this will be a total of 5, 6, 7, 8, including the afternoon show on Monday. 8 air shifts for me this week. Because why the hell not, right? All we're doing is sitting around and talking sports, and it's not like we're tarring a roof, right?
No, well, you know, you're buying in bulk. I mean, it's very cost-effective.
I guess so. It's sort of like going to Costco and getting the giant thing of Utz cheese balls.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And just like eating all of them in one day, even though you told yourself you wouldn't. I was thinking real quick before we talk Bears, I was thinking about one other bit that while I was interning for Boers and Bernstein. Do you remember the Douchebag Tuesday thing?
You can't say that.
I can't?
No, that's no. Yes, I do remember that. That was
Gushbag Tuesday.
Good morning. It's Gushbag Tuesday. That was Arnetta, yeah. Right? Who we had? She yeah. came up because she was the woman who worked for security, who would say the sort of sing-songy, pleasant good morning, yeah. and happy Tuesday, right?
That's right. That's right. And so there's another word that everybody wanted her to say, but she couldn't. So but she didn't do it right in the first place.
Right.
She said, "Good morning. It's Gushbag Tuesday,"
which we could use and did.
That's right. That's right.
We don't know what it means, but we used it. You know, it's so funny, and you bring this up because I know this is probably a topic for another time. But while we're doing this, we might as well. And it had to do with recently and well-publicized issue with the Score Afternoon host who tweeted something he shouldn't tweet and ended up losing his job because of it. And so many people were saying, and my first thought, and I even said it to Mitch, I'm like, yeah, my dumb tweet from 5, 6 years ago, that would be immediate cause for firing. I absolutely would have been out. And everyone's like, hey, Bruce, you should be fired too because of what you did 6 years ago. I'm like, the difference is, it was 6 years ago, and I was thinking about this. You know what else would get us all fired? Any episode of the Boers and Bernstein show. Like,
yes.
when you really think about what it was, the show that you worked for, anyone, any day, a Tuesday was that 03 or 04? What year was it? Were you interning?
It was 02, I want to say.
So if you were to actually go back and listen to any single Boers and Bernstein show from that era or from 99 or whenever, we're all fired. And it's a scandal. The producers are fired. The hosts are fired. It's multiple news cycles of the kinds of things that we said, the horrible things for which we made fun of people, how we made fun of people, the words that we used. And it's just how context and timing, it's like with the Tony La Russa stuff that we were playing, just how much the times mean for some of these things. Because it would be appalling to listen. If you listen to one of those shows right now, you wouldn't believe it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, that was in some ways the allure of it.
Yep.
But I also think that if you listened to some of those shows, you'd say, what were we doing?
Indeed. Like, how could we possibly have been that gross or insensitive or making fun of these people for these reasons of who they were or what they looked like and you know, some of the bombs that we were throwing and things we were lighting on fire? It was fun to do. And I guess at the time it was very successful, but you can't do that anymore.
No, so there's an episode of The Office. I went back in this quarantine period earlier in the spring, and I watched The Office back. And there's an episode of The Office where it's like a sensitivity training or whatever. It's very early in the run. And some of the stuff in the script is awful for now.
And my son and my wife binge-watched all of The Office in quarantine. And it's so funny you say that, because there was one day where they were upstairs and I heard both of them going, "Oh my God." And it was that episode. And like, what are you guys all "Oh my God-ing" over? And she's like, "You got to hear this." And you're right. Because the Office for me is too much cringe comedy for me. I understand how well acted it is and the comic timing is great. But sometimes the comedy of discomfort doesn't quite work for me. It just makes me uncomfortable. But they loved it. And it's exactly that episode, the sensitivity training episode that you're talking about.
Yeah, it's but I never would have expected it from The Office ever considering like how loving Michael Scott became.
Right.
It's a bizarre deal watching that again.
All right, so here's my Bears thing. And yeah. I mentioned this earlier on my show, but I think Matt Nagy raised the stakes for the offense a little bit in the timing of his little meatball rant, because I said the same thing. Like, where's the offense already? Like, you're in year three, and you're Mr. Offense, and your offense sucks, and you're not scoring enough points. And then he sort of said the same thing. After a win, he came out and said, "We got to score more points, and we got to be better on third down, and the details have to be better." And I loved hearing it. But now that he's played that card, like, you don't get to do that again. You know, he put that out there when he's dropping freaking this and frickin' that, like Ned Flanders. All of a sudden, you realize that this better kind of happen, right?
Yeah, I think the worst thing you can do is aim too low in any sport. And I know that's generic, but I think specifically when you are shackled to a quarterback, like I've heard a lot of the Trubisky stuff and I don't get involved in it. There's very little value for me to get involved in it. But when you are shackled to a quarterback that doesn't aim where you want them to aim, just in terms of what you can do with an offense, I think that might get you a little bit gun shy in terms of what you're doing offensively and how much you want to open the throttle and all that. And it seems like atmospherically, whether it was the rant or whether it was premeditated or whatever it is, like, it seems like atmospherically the Bears are somewhere else offensively. Like, they're up a rung on the ladder.
I need it to go up more rungs. There's not enough rungs here. Like, you're up a little bit, that's fine, but the idea of this hire was to operate at a different level, was to be in charge of a game offensively where you're forcing a team to react, you're reading their reaction, and then you come after their reaction. And they're not quite there yet, because 3rd and 8 still feels like 3rd and 100 to me.
Yeah, I don't disagree. And I know this is a passing league now. The NFL is a passing league. But I watched a lot of David Montgomery in college. I had an Iowa State-Iowa game. I had a number of other games where I was watching film of David Montgomery. And I like what he can provide you in the passing game. And we haven't seen it as much as I thought we would when he got drafted. But I like the idea that maybe there's more there for him.
And what I like about Nick Foles, and this is something we talked with the former Cyclone quarterback Sage Rosenfels about on Tuesday, and he was very granular about this in the X's and O's of this play, but what Foles can do that Mitchell Trubisky can't yet, and maybe never will be able to do, is get a feel for where the pressure release is in a blitz, and not just where, but importantly when, and knowing how to wait a little bit and saying, if I just give it a little extra second to get these guys in here, it's almost the dynamics of a screen pass to give your running back a chance to flex out a little bit more. And we saw that. And that's where I think Montgomery can just be terrific, because not only does he get a head start in between the levels of the defense, then all of his evasive maneuvers and countermeasures come into play, because he's great at those. I just don't need to see them all in the offensive backfield. I'd rather see him when he's already with a head of steam, with that good forward lean down the field.
Right, and he used to do that running the ball rather than out of the passing game in college, because the speed wasn't there, the holes closed up in less time, et cetera, et cetera. I kind of feel like you have to give him that forward movement, that propelling, in order to get him started and underway. I mean, I don't know what the offensive line's going to look like this week and how they're going to be with the injuries and whatnot, with Daniels and such, but it seems to me that that's a weapon that can be used more than we've seen.
How often do you get surprised at a college player that you saw, either one that you end up flipping on Red Zone on a Sunday or whatever, and you say, either I never expected that guy to be like the starting whatever on this team, or the opposite, someone you saw as a college stud who just never makes it?
Happens to me more in the NBA, I would say, and I think pretty substantially. Like Duncan Robinson, right?
Right.
Duncan Robinson, how? What? Like Kyle Korver, you kind of had a little bit of a feeling. Duncan Robinson was at Williams, you know, and I don't have a grand feel for who's going to work in the NBA. And I guess maybe it's just that college basketball and the NBA are more dissimilar than college football and the NFL. I don't know, but I'm a pretty bad evaluator when it comes to possible NBA talent. But college, I feel like it happens a little bit less.
And you weren't doing Williams games. You saw him after he was already at Michigan, right?
No, I was doing electrical work at Williams.
You know who actually the most famous former Williams basketball player is next to Duncan Robinson? Do you follow the comedian on Twitter, Jean-Louis Covan, who does the fabulous Trump impersonation?
I don't.
Okay, he's an absolute must-follow on Twitter, and he does an impersonation that's so on point, so funny, and so edgy. He's 6'7", and is a former Williams basketball player. So there's your little bit of ridiculous, useless trivia for the day. I do urge that you check out some of his stuff, though. We're going to talk some football coming up with the voice of the Carolina Panthers. Mick Mixon is scheduled to join the Lawrence Holmes Show in just a couple of minutes, so don't go anywhere. More with Jason Benetti and me and the voice of the Panthers. That's coming up.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
On the Score.
One back, Bridgewater turns towards us, fakes a handoff, drifts back, has a screen to the left side, to the 10, the 5, it's got potential, it's a touchdown! Davis from Bridgewater on the screen.
I'll say it had potential. Potential fulfilled. The voice of Mick Mixon, who is the voice of the Carolina Panthers NFL football squadron. Jason Benetti and Dan Bernstein today in for Lawrence Holmes. So let's get a preview for the Bears' Sunday opponent. And if you want to get a look at Mick Mixon, all you need to know about his level of professionalism for a radio interview in Chicago, we're talking coat and tie and pro setup. That's impressive stuff, Mick.
Yeah, that's how we roll, and it's because I got Joniak in my crosshairs. I got to win my individual battle, so I'm busy working on my highly technical spotter boards here so that I can out-tidbit the Devin Hester, you are ridiculous voice of the Bears.
I always made fun of Jeff as sort of in fun because of the there's so much detail to all of his prep and the voluminous notes. And I say, you know, that there's PR departments that do all this for you. You know, that they actually do all this and they print it out, and you could just kind of have it. You don't have to do this yourself, but it's part of his process.
Yeah, you can't rely on, and a lot of guys do, unfortunately. I know some of my colleagues have high school kids do their spotter boards, and that's just a moral capital offense in my mind. You got to do it yourself. You got to put the work in. And I love Jeff. I love talking to him. I think I got to be on his show later tonight, so I'm looking forward to it. But what are you guys thinking? How are you guys handicapping the matchup on your show?
Well, I want to know from you why this offensive line is so good. That's a concern, I think, for Bears fans here.
Fantastic that you asked me that. I love that. So we're getting deep into it. So here's your answer, and it's not as sexy. It's easy for me to tell you that we got these blocks of granite at every position, high-round draft choices, mad at it. And in some cases, that's true. There are some talented pieces. But we got this offensive line coach, Pat Myers, who was a former strength coach at NC State under Chuck the Chest Amato. And Pat Myers just, the rest of the world's wired for 110. He runs on 220. He's got some non-traditional teaching methods, but the O-linemen love him. They'll do anything for him. And so I think you got a unit that's playing pretty cohesively and substituting freely, and so far, they've kept Teddy Bridgewater remarkably clean.
It's also important to block runs for a runner, and different running styles require different kinds of blocks, the timing and spacing of the blocks, depending on what the runner wants to do. You lose maybe the best running back in football and replace him with a guy who couldn't play dead for the Bears last year. What's going right with everything that's happening with this sort of found money in Mike Davis?
Glad you mentioned that. Thank you, by the way, for sending us Greg Olson, Chris Harris, now Mike Davis. We love our Windy City gifts that we occasionally get. Of course, it goes both ways. But how could Mike Davis not have made the Bears? How could he? He runs like someone has dented his ride in the parking lot, like someone has insulted his mom. Like he just is irritated and incredibly inconvenienced by the mere presence of a defender in his path. And he's a good catcher. He's a good receiver coming out of the backfield. He can catch the ball. And he's a willing blocker and pretty good in blitz pickup and pass pro. So how did he not succeed in Chicago?
If I had that answer, I'd be coaching somewhere, I can tell you that, because that was we talked to him in training camp, and he certainly looked the part, and he looked athletic and sudden and quick, and it just never got going for some reason. And I don't know, I don't know if there was just something going on with the what he was being asked to do, how he was being asked to do it, or maybe it's just this commitment to him that's changed the way he plays. I don't know.
Could be. He's got an opportunity, and he's made the most of it, of course. And what you need to know about the Panther offense has a lot to do with Teddy Bridgewater, a lot to do with Mike Davis, the O-line, but it also has a lot to do with this Opie Taylor offensive coordinator we got down here, 31-year-old Joe Brady, who has neurons firing. He's all ball. Maybe a little bit of your head coach, of Matt Nagy, in him and both Matt Rhule, in terms of what they believe in, how they believe in relating to the team and to these athletes, these alpha males that they coach. But Joe Brady's a handful. He will wad up and stress the edges. They'll spread out, increase you in the run game. There are all the side adjusts, the option routes, bubble screens, tunnel screens, the slip screens, tight end screen, etc. And then with a back like Davis who can tote it, you've got to be ready for about anything.
So how does he maximize Teddy Bridgewater?
It's the confluence of two pretty interesting rivers. One is Teddy Bridgewater and his skill set. Highly intelligent quarterback, can get the ball off on time to the right receiver, athletic enough to make the first rusher miss, And Teddy Bridgewater has this confidence about him. His pulse rate when he's out there looks like it's about 53 maybe. And he inspires confidence in those around him. So you've got the Teddy Bridgewater skill set. Then you've got Joe Brady, whose offensive playbook needs a point guard, needs a distributor like Teddy Bridgewater. Plus the two of them knew one another from their time in New Orleans. So I put to you that the Panthers started the season a little bit ahead of many teams offensively, even though there were so many new pieces. Panthers didn't miss the preseason maybe quite as much because of the synchronicity between Joe Brady and Teddy Bridgewater.
Some missing pieces on the defense. Kawan Short, defensive tackle, is going to have season-ending shoulder surgery. Yetur Gross-Matos hasn't practiced. Brian Burns in concussion protocol. How seriously banged up is the front seven, and what opportunity might that afford the Bears' running game?
Pretty dinged up, and we'll miss Brian Burns a lot. Brian Burns is that Tasmanian devil kind of whirling dervish coming off the edge to give the Panthers at least a chance at pressures, sacks, strip sacks, et cetera. So it's going to be a problem, I believe. This defense has some aggressive tendencies built into it, but they'll also show you different fronts. It won't be unusual for you to see a sort of a 3-3, almost a stack kind of college defense look to complement the 4-3 base. There'll be some single high. There'll be some cover two, some cover one, some robber, et cetera. They like to mix it up. But I think the overarching sentiment is keep everything in front of them. Don't get beat deep. Don't give up cheap ones. Be a low penalty, low mistake defense, and force the other team to drive the football and hope they make a mistake.
We're joined by the radio voice of the Carolina Panthers, Mick Mixon. We've heard about the protocol, the COVID protocol, that's been heightened with the team now with the Falcons situation. What does practice do? How does practice change? And what's the situation with the team right now?
Yesterday, Wednesday, guys, normally there'd be some banging and clanging going on the practice field. Matt Rhule, for all of his ropes course, weenie roast, ghost stories, kumbaya, let's build the unity and everybody tell their story. It's all fantastic. And that's just not artificial. That's just who he is. He's fantastic in that way. But don't be fooled by that, because he coaches this team tough and hard, and he's not afraid to get into them and challenge them. Wednesday practices here are physical, but yesterday was not. Yesterday was sort of the Thursday or the Friday practice while everyone sorted through the whole virus thing. So you saw a team out there with no helmets, everybody wearing masks, going through. It was quick. It was rapid tempo trying to get work in, but not with the thumping that they would normally do to get ready for Chicago. I don't know how to read it. I mean, Atlanta, we played Atlanta. They had a lineman who played 17 snaps, a D lineman who had tested positive. So I think just like every other team, we're just trying to do everything that we can do, test aggressively, see how it works out.
If you were game planning against Teddy Bridgewater, what would be your bread and butter stuff on defense? What does he not want to do?
Well, I don't coach the team, but here from the press box, although there have been some Sundays where that's not the worst idea I ever heard. But I think pressure up the middle. I think Teddy is exceptional at that speed chess. He loves that pawn to king for pawn. You know how it goes. Just boom, boom, hit the clock. He loves that stuff. He's good at that. So, and he's pretty accustomed to the sight adjust, the hot reads. If he knows where your blitz is coming from, and he's a good runner. He doesn't want to really run, but he's a good runner. He's got more juice than you think. We've seen him get up the middle and author some runs that haven't just been good runs for quarterbacks, but they've been good runs for running backs. So I would think something in his face, you know, at least trying to flush him and get him, you know, limit his options, make him a half or a quarter field thrower. It's easier to say than it is to do, because he's 4-1 career against Chicago, so I'm probably not able to tell you anything about Teddy that you don't already know.
What does Robbie Anderson do best to get himself as open as he's been?
Oh, man, he puts a foot in the ground, and J- just the in break. He's incredible at those in cuts where you think he's going, you know, post or post corner, but he can just cut. He can change directions without really having to slow down. So getting that inside leverage and then timing it up with Teddy Bridgewater where the ball is right there at the top of his route and to work. So the what you heard of, at least what we heard anyway here in the South about Robbie Anderson was that he's a big play threat, sort of Ted Ginn, you know, Teddy ball game, and he can certainly do that. But he's also not scared to work that kudzu, that thorny underbrush in the middle, and he can definitely make yards after the catch as well.
I love the texture of a kudzu reference there. It feels like it puts me, you know, right there in Mecklenburg County with you. Which, by the way, I'm reading every time I'm reading something or seeing in my Twitter timeline, you're right in the center of it there, talking about swing county, swing state, early voting underway. I don't know if the Panthers are involved in get out the vote efforts like so many other NFL teams are, but it's got to be quite the place to be right now in the middle of that county in North Carolina.
Oh, exactly, 100%. And this is the Panthers have been right out in front of it. There have been some really cool PSAs, Christian McCaffrey, Julius Peppers, former D lineman that you guys know. Julius is very savvy and layered and active. He has a PSA telling everybody how important the time this is to get out and vote. And our whole stadium is going to be devoted. It's going to be closed on voting day and devoted to some early voting things. And so we can't wait, and should be a heck of a thing.
Mick, I want to ask, I lived in Winston-Salem for 5-6 years. What does it say about me as a former Southerner, quote-unquote, that I miss cookout milkshakes?
It says you need to move back to the South. I mean, we have it going down here. I don't know why there's even a city up there with all that snow and ice and the wind. And so we would welcome you. Housing market down here is thriving, but I'm sure with your salary, you can probably handle something, you know, uptown luxury condo, that kind of thing, and be no problem.
Well,
thanks, Mick.
I spent 4 years in Durham and then another year working in Raleigh, and I can tell you that I miss Bullock's Barbecue and Stamey's in Greensboro. Stamey's still may be the single best sandwich that I've ever had in my life, and it just, no matter how hard I try to have, you know, avail myself of what's done here, it is not the same.
Yeah, I'd be half the man I am, and that's not saying a lot, without Bullock's Barbecue and some of those other food stuffs that you mentioned, although it doesn't look like you guys get cheated with some calorically dense food items there in Chicago.
That is absolutely the case. Anyway, Mick, you said that you were going to be on with Jeff Joniak. We'll look forward to hearing that as well. Thank you for taking the time to join us today. Good health.
Yeah, same to you guys. Appreciate you having me on, and come see us when you can.
That is Mick Mixon, the voice of the Carolina Panthers. And that's just someone who should be the voice of the Carolina Panthers, because from the sound of the turns of phrase and everything else, that's really, really solid stuff. Hey, Jason, when we come back, I have some sound from our guy Sam Acho, the former Bear. Mm-hmm. He was on the DA show with Damon Amendolara, and he had some – Herb, how would you characterize this? This is pretty explosive stuff, would you say?
Very much so. It's calling out one person on the team that usually doesn't get called out and giving praise to a guy who usually gets called out.
That's a good tease, and we'll turn this around. You'll hear from Sam Acho. This is that was controversial, but it's strong. It's next
can
on the
I,
score.
Can I double tease real fast?
Sure.
Okay, sorry. I took you. I want to ask you about giving directions in the South when we come back okay. After your Bears thing.
Okay, we'll play that. We'll do that. We'll be all things to all people next on the score.
Okay.
This segment's brought to you by Burlington. Have you been to Burlington? They have incredible deals and amazing styles at up to 60% off other retailers' prices and no coupons needed. It's your one-stop shop for fall. Go to Burlington.com to find your store. Burlington, love the deals. Dan Bernstein here with Jason Benetti. We are in for Lawrence Holmes and having some fun. And I thought that we should give this a listen before we get out of here. Because on the Damon Amendolara show, the DA show, CBS Sports Radio, former Bear Sam Acho, and we should mention former teammate of Mitchell Trubisky. Sam Acho has been a guest on my show and this show many, many times. he was on, and Herb, I guess what's the best way for me to set this up is just sort of hear him in his own words, correct? All right, so let's just do that. This is Sam Acho on the DA show.
So Mitchell Trubisky is an interesting case study for what you're talking about, being real, being honest, being yourself. It has felt like at times Trubisky, by virtue of being the number two pick overall, has tried to wear the cloak of the franchise quarterback without actually being honest about who he was. It feels like he's kind of acting a little bit. When you were there, did you feel like Trubisky was honestly the guy, or was he trying to play the role of the guy?
Yeah, I disagree in a lot of ways, and maybe I'm a little bit biased because, you know, Mitch is my homie and I played with him for a couple years. I think any player, any human, anybody, right, who's in any job, you believe that you can do it, right? Most people believe, a lot of people, even me, sometimes I didn't believe I could do it, but I got to, you know, some people say, man, believe, and then it's going to happen, right? With Mitch specifically, if you go back and look at history a little bit, his first year as a quarterback with John Fox, I think we had Mike Glennon, a quarterback as well. He got thrown in, end of the season, right? And everybody knew what we were doing. We were run, run, pass, first down run, second down run, third down pass, predictable. Second year came in, after, you know, okay season. But then you saw what happened when he had 2018 with Matt Nagy as a new coach, right? 12-4, you know, setting records, Pro Bowl, et cetera. So I wouldn't say there was any pretending with Mitch. Anybody who knows Mitch knows Mitch keeps it real. Mitch is Mitch. He keeps it real. So I wouldn't say there's any pretending. And even the quarterback competition this specific offseason, right? You believe you're the guy. I believe I'm the guy. We all believe we're the guy. And Mitch actually was chosen in a lot of ways to be the guy. And then he throws one interception, then he gets benched, right? So for me, that's not him pretending. That's maybe whoever made the decision that said you're the guy. That guy could be pretending, you know what I mean? And so I just never saw that. So I see it a little bit differently. I see it a little bit differently. And I see Mitch, if anybody keeps it real, keeps it 100, it's Mitch and a lot of those guys in that Bears locker room.
Well, that's interesting that he throws a little shade toward Matt Nagy's way there when he says that Mitch is keeping it real and maybe the guy who made the decision after one interception is the guy who's pretending. It's interesting to me. What do you hear in that?
I hear a defense of a guy who I think everybody who seems to know him wants him to be better than he's been in the NFL. And I got that feeling about Mitch Trubisky being a real dude. I got that feeling absolutely, and I know it's a 10-minute window, but he came up to do a half inning with me and Stoney in a White Sox game a couple years ago, 2019, I think. And I got very little pretense from the guy. And I know people at North Carolina who love the guy. And so what I hear in that is in part the wishing that a guy you really like was the guy that you think he can be, like the self-actualized version of that quarterback. I hear like aspiration in that.
Hmm. It comes back to the Trubisky with the cameras on or with the recorders rolling or on Zoom or however it may be, is just a different guy than everybody else seems to see when it's not on the record, on camera, on tape. And I haven't had some, you know, those kind of off the record moments. We just haven't been afforded that, you know, even, you know, the way it's as tightly controlled as it is now and going forward. But even in training camp, we had some great times with some of the other quarterbacks, whether it was, you know, Rex Grossman and Kyle Orton back in the day and being able to hang out and get to know them a little bit. But everyone insists that this sort of robotic Trubisky that just parrots coaching points isn't the way he is with teammates.
I think part of it, and I don't want to speak too far because it was spending 10 minutes with him, but I'm speaking slightly generally here, but I do believe that not everybody is Edgar Allan Poe. Not everybody has a way with words.
Not everybody's that
and
drunk,
I do think
fortunately.
Some people, that's right. Quote the Ravens says something.
Right.
I think some people don't really feel that comfortable extemporaneously speaking. Like, I don't know that that's the issue here, but I did kind of get the sense that when we were like Stoney started talking to Mitch about being from Mentor, Ohio, and Ohio geography, and he was really loose and he was really easy. And then we had him on the air, and he was kind of loose and he was a little bit easy, but he was really parroting. So. I don't know. I just I hate judging off of that because I've had so many experiences where people aren't what they seem in front of the camera. And I know you have too.
Sure.
I mean, it sounds preachy to say that, but it's hard to judge that. But then what we are left to judge, as I said about Ricky Renteria the other day when I was doing whatever show I was with you, I don't know if the names matter, you don't see the person inside, so you judge the results. And with Mitch Trubisky, you're left to judge the results, and the benefit of the doubt isn't there because you don't see somebody glib and you don't see somebody who has wonderful turns of phrase.
I want to note a little breaking news that is brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Learn more at Indeed.com/credit. Adrian Wojnarowski reporting that the Clippers are finalizing a 5-year deal for Tyronn Lue to be their next head coach. And now Shams Charania of The Athletic says Ty Lue's coaching staff will include Chauncey Billups and Larry Drew.
Interesting.
That's a hell of a staff there. That's strong.
I saw as well, I don't know if it's been confirmed, I saw word that Daryl Morey was out.
I did see that as well, and that's about now a year after the controversial comments about Hong Kong that alienated China and cost the NBA $5 billion. So, which is no small amount of money. I mean, that's more than a mortgage payment, right? The $5 billion, woof.
Yeah, that'll get you at some. Did you read The Undoing Project, by the way, the Michael Lewis book that featured Daryl Morey?
No.
Read The Undoing Project. Part of it is about Daryl Morey forcing his scouts to make comparisons from black players to white players and not just say everybody who's white looks like Larry Bird and all of that stuff. There's a whole chapter about Daryl Morey and his scouting philosophy.
Well, that's kind of cool. That's like what you did with Luis Robert when you comped him to Terrell Owens. I mean, I do like what you're saying, but the cross-sport comps are great. That's when you know you're talking to a real scout.
Or somebody who just doesn't like being basic. So before the break, can I just ask you real fast,
sure,
if your experience in the South was the same as mine, that giving directions never includes street names? Like, getting directions in the South, to me, when I lived in Winston-Salem, was, hey, how do I get to the hardware store? Well, you go straight on, you go straight from the church, and then you turn right at the second greenhouse. And you're like, okay, I think I've got that. And then you go straight ahead, and there's a big rock, right? You don't turn at the rock. You go past the rock, and then there's a Waffle House. Not that one. The second Waffle House,
right.
You turn left. And you're like, there are these little green things. They're street signs. Typically, we use the names of the streets. It's all like, it's all folksy landmarks.
Right, you're gonna go by Aunt Jane's house because you know Aunt Jane. Everybody knows Aunt Jane. She's the one you're gonna smell the biscuits that she's making right there. So when you smell Aunt Jane's biscuits, you're gonna head down another little ways past the creek. And once you get past the creek, you're gonna go up toward the church, but not to the church because if you get to the church, you've gone too far. And right in there, you're gonna make a right. Okay,
yeah.
Gotcha. And but even that sort of folksiness is all obviated now through even the idea of stopping for directions. You don't need to anymore because your GPS has taken you everywhere. The idea of stopping in the South also that I had to adjust to, and it was weird. I went to get gas, and I was like outside of Asheville or something, and I stopped for gas, and I'm there, and the owner, in the overalls, comes walking out of the garage to come over and talk.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, hello? Because I'm used to a guy behind the Lucite, right?
Yeah,
And he's like, how's it going? I'm like, okay, I'm just, here to pump gas. This is a gas station. I'm just, pumping gas because my car needs it to run. And he's like, probably going to get some rain later today. And I'm like, great, okay. But he just, it's like you'd stop there, he comes out to talk to you.
Yeah, it is amazingly friendly. I miss that part of the South.
Well, it's friendly, except after I left, the guy probably went in the back and burned a cross or something. I mean,
I don't know. I met enough people who I talked to in 08 that were like hardcore Republicans who became Obama voters with carrying North Carolina as happened in 2008, that maybe I have an outsized view of people's ability to change politically,
mm-hmm,
because I knew a bunch of people who did it that specific year. But I have a number of friends who did that.
Yeah, the idea of asking for directions, too, it just sounds so quaint.
You know, doesn't it?
Really? Now I don't need to. And I even get lazy now when, like, I'm bringing my kid home from hockey practice. I'll find home, and I'll have to optimize my route to my own house just because I can.
Well, I have to say this, that Stoney, I think, somehow sneers at my use of Waze. We will leave the ballpark and there will be construction, or when the protests were happening downtown, he'll say, "How are you getting home?" And I say, I'm going to punch it into Waze. Like, so there was one day where Ohio was closed, and I ended up punching it into Waze, and I went to the next exit because that's what Waze told me to do. And then I got off in Milwaukee or whatever it was, and then took a sharp left. And Stoney called me about 45 minutes later, and he was like, "How did you get home?" And I said, "Well, I put it in Waze." And he said, "Well, I don't have that."
Yes,
and it took
do.
Me an hour.
You do. Of course you have. If you have a phone, then you have it. Come on, Gramps. Come on.
No, but what you said about him earlier is true, though. Like, he very much appreciates forward thinking about baseball and even technology. Like, he's all over Twitter now. He does a lot of technology. But then I say, like, "Hey, we got this Zoom call," and he says, "What's Zoom?" And I just think he likes to be obstinate sometimes just for the fun of it.
I think there's no
but
question
he actually,
about it.
Yeah, he actually will do these things, but I have to, like, find a way to convince him that it's his idea.
We've got transition coming up with the afternoon team today, Danny Parkins and Rami Makhlouf. So we are going to say hello to them and start your afternoon score experience in just a moment on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.